Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Remember us online at www.davidoakesministries.org. Drop by and view the site. We'd love to have you drop by. And then while you're on the site, why don't you just click on the contacts or the info link and send us an email. Glory to God, and just pass on some thoughts to us about the podcast. We have so many hundreds of people around the world downloading the podcast, and we'd love to hear from you. And we promise you, this is between you and me, we promise you we will not put you on an email list and bombard you with unsolicited or unwanted emails. If you want us to write you back, you can tell us and we will. But if you don't, we will not put you on email list. We won't. Did you hear me? So send us an email. If you'd like for us to respond, we'd be happy to respond to you. Now, today we're going to do something because I like to bring this up before people once every 3 or 4 months. And it's been a while since we have spoken on the subject of Israel, but Israel is a big part of our ministry. We love Israel. We love the Jewish people. We believe that what God has said concerning Israel will happen just as God has said. God has a special place for the Jewish people in his heart. The Bible says that he has made an everlasting covenant with them. And that everlasting covenant means it's everlasting, and God's plan will be fulfilled in their life. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and Israel definitely has a call on its life. And that call is for the Word of God to go out from Jerusalem. Praise be unto God. And so we want to speak a little bit about Israel, and then we're going to play a Hebrew song that I have written. My wife and I go to Israel. We all not only take people there to teach them, but on occasion we do music tours and we play in different areas of Israel. We play in different establishments. We play in kibbutzim. We play on army bases. We've played on television, radio. We go into schools. We do political functions. So we get around with the music. The music has been a real blessing to open doors. And not only do we do that, but we have been playing some in the United States, more than some in the United States, in churches, which is amazing that the church would love to hear Hebrew music. But there is a real love, a real groundswell of love for Israel and the Jewish people amongst some parts of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be amongst all parts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the song, we're going to have some comments taken from a video that I did in Israel in the spring of 2005 with Mayor Ron Nachman of the community of Ariel. Now let me read to you chapter 31 of Jeremiah. It says, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel." So notice what God is saying here. God is saying, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That means God's love for Israel will never cease, no matter what some people try to tell you from the pulpit. God's love for Israel will never cease. It's an everlasting love. And then God says this, "I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel." God is going to build up Israel. In Jesus' holy name, that is exactly what's going to happen. And notice this, it says, God calls them, O Virgin of Israel. In other words, God sees them by the eye of faith as a people who have never transgressed his commandments, who have always done what he has said. Those who have never transgressed, that's how God sees the people of Israel. And he calls them, O Virgin of Israel. And he says, "Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things." Now, when it says the mountains of Samaria, that is the area that the world right now now calls the West Bank. God doesn't call it the West Bank. He calls it the mountains of Samaria. This is where the tribes of Israel live. From the mountains of Israel and up were where the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel were. These are the territorial possessions of Israel. Notice what God says again, thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. He's telling the Jewish people, you're going to be there on those mountains in what the world calls the West Bank, and you are going to plant vines. They said, the planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Notice what he says, for there shall be a day. He was looking out into the future. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim. Now the Mount Ephraim is in those mountains of Samaria. And we're going to listen to the mayor of Ariel, and the mayor of Ariel's community is in this location in Israel. Now, years ago, I was with a very well-known Bible teacher who makes many, many appearances on television. If I were to mention their name, you would know them. But they're a dear friend of mine, and we were in Israel together at the same time. And we sat with a teacher of Hebrew, and he took out his Bible, and he didn't really want anybody else around us to hear what he was getting ready to tell us. It could have been very unpopular. But he said the word watchman here is the Hebrew word notzir, and it is what the Hebrews, the Jews nowadays in Israel, call Christians, the notzrim. And he says, for there shall be at that day the notzrim. And he says, we believe this could possibly be Christians. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Notice this is in that area that the Bible calls the West Bank. Then in verse 7 it says, for thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. The chief of the nations there is the Hebrew word rosh. Well, that means the head. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 28, they'd be the head, not the tail, if they'd be obedient to him. This is talking about Israel. Among the head of the nations, publish ye and praise ye and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. I remember in 1990, the spring of 1990, so many years ago already, how time flies, that I was reading this passage of Scripture, and verse 6 and 7 literally came off of the page before my eyes, and the Lord spoke to me, told me that I was to learn Hebrew and begin to sing songs in Hebrew. And from that time, doors have opened supernaturally throughout the land of Israel. And we have taken song, which is with the word of God. We have taken the word of God in song to the people of Israel. We have done Hanukkah celebrations. We have done political gatherings. We have done fundraisings for housing. We have done military installations. We have done television, radio. We have sung literally from one end of the country to the other end of the country, from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River. And one of the places that we enjoy going so much is to the mountains of Samaria. And we have been to many communities in the area that the world calls the West Bank. So first of all, today, we are going to start with a song that I have penned called Chazak Ve'amatz, Be Strong and Very Courageous, and Possess the Land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess. I wrote it out of Joshua, the first chapter. So sit back and listen to Chazak Ve'amatz and be blessed by it. And then we're going to come back and play excerpts from a video that I produced in Israel in the spring of 2005 with Mayor Ron Nachman from the Ariel community. He started the community, and the community has grown to 20,000 people with a wonderful college now. We visit there often, and you'll get some insight from Mayor Ron Nachman. And we'll come back after the song and speak to you a little more on that. Now be blessed by this song by David Oakes.
Chazak, chazak, v'mahat chazak.
You have been listening to Chazak Ve'Amatz, a song that I wrote a few years ago. You can purchase that song if you would so like. It is on our Hebrew CD, Chazak Ve'Amatz, and you can get that at www.davidoaksministries.org. You can use our online store and purchase with a credit card, and the ministry will send it right out to you. It'll be a blessing to you. We believe in Jesus' name. Now, as I said earlier, we're going to have some audio that was extracted from a video that we did in Israel in the spring of 2005 with Mayor Ron Nachman of Ariel, which is in the mountains of Samaria. I mean, right from the hotel there in Ariel, you can see the Mount of Blessings, Mount Gerizim, where the children of Israel went. It is such a wonderful place. Right in that same area is Alon Moreh, where God spoke unto Abraham. I mean, you just have so many places around there. You have in the New Testament, Sychar, ancient Shechem, modern-day Nablus, where Jacob's well is at. It's just such a rich place for biblical history and the biblical present and the biblical future. So listen here as we talk with Mayor Ron Nachman. He's going to give you some insight into things pertaining to the so-called peace accords. You'll hear also the voice of my wife, Rachel, and you will hear Dina Shalit, who is just such a blessing, helping in the city of Ariel and doing many, many duties through the mayor's office. So sit back and listen to Mayor Ron Nachman for this extended version of the Light Church podcast.
He asked me about President Bush. I said President Bush is one of the best and most friendly presidents of the United States as a person. When I look at his body language, you know, he's not Clinton with his shows like a movie star. Clinton knew to say the proper word at the proper time, at the proper place. Bush is not so. Bush is simple. He's not too sophisticated. But as a person, and his wife is not Hillary. She's a nice American lady, and she's modest, you know. And she's not arrogant or something like Hillary Clinton, she's a very tough politician, right. And she has a different agenda. Laura Bush is an educator, so you can see it. And I say, if I'm talking about the personalities, I'm very much satisfied. I'm not satisfied with the policy of the president, which is the president vision. There are always two possibilities. One is that he is right and correct. So maybe his vision will come true, and we see that the Palestinian state will contribute to peace, and peace will come from heaven, and everything will be all right. So this is one possibility. But imagine that there is another possibility, that it will fail. And who will be responsible for the bloodshed? Mr. President, that in the year of 2008 is not going to be anymore the president. Who is going to be Condoleezza Rice? Colin Powell is not the Secretary of State anymore. So we are not a laboratory that you make some experiments like in a laboratory. It's a question and a matter of life and death. And I say that your administration, the State Department, has not moved since 1947 from its policy. And the Embassy of America is in Tel Aviv and not in Jerusalem. Not because of Ariel, Ron Nachman, and Dina Shalit. This is because of the American policy taking care about Jerusalem being an international city. What is the connection between the settlements? Now, if President Bush says that there will be a need to take into consideration the facts that were created on the ground, the Israeli blocks like Maaleh Adumim, Ariel, and so on, so why do you freeze us? If that is going to be the permanent status agreement, so what's the difference if there will be, instead of 18,000 people in Ariel, 25,000? What is the big difference? Why to freeze us? If you agree that is the fact on the ground, so why do you freeze the fact? I don't understand the rationale. I don't understand it at all. And then I said, that you don't want to learn from the past. Because the slogan, the equation, land for peace, cannot work. There is a peninsula between Russia and Japan, almost 60 years after the Second World War, 60 years. It's still a problem. Who owns this peninsula there between Japan and Russia? I don't remember the name now. But Russia doesn't want to give up to Japan because Russia is so small, tiny country, so small. And this huge empire from the coast of the Pacific to the coast of the Northern Sea, this huge, I say, small, tiny country doesn't want to give up land for peace. But we, with the giant Israel, yes, 15 miles from the sea to the border, we need to give up everything for peace. And I said to the consul, listen, we need peace for peace or land for land. Peace for land never works. That was the basis of all the idea of Oslo. Nothing helped. There was never a Palestinian state here. Why from 47 to 67, Egypt did not establish a Palestinian state in Gaza? Why Jordan did not establish a Palestinian state in the West Bank of Jordan? Then he said, okay, what do you think about the Palestinian state? I said, I agree. That should be in Jordan, not here. Only two states, Israel and a state. Maybe it's Hashemite Kingdom or a Palestinian state, I don't care. So in comparison, you have the one dynasty of kingdom, you know, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, it is ruled by the dynasty of Hussein, Abdullah, Faisal. So one family will have to move and live in London. Instead of 3 million Palestinians. It's easy. You don't need to move 3 million Palestinians. Move one family. They have so many assets, so much money. They made fortune. They have property in London, in New Jersey, in Orange County, in Los Angeles, in Miami, in Chicago. All over the world they have palaces. And so we say goodbye to a family. And we will have a Palestinian state, because if you talk about peace for peace, I need peace, you need peace. If I need peace and you don't need peace, there will be no peace. Now land, if I need land and you need land, so we will own the land. But when you say, I give you peace and you give me land, then it's a gun with the wind. So in order to make peace, you need a border. In order to make a border, you need to overcome the problem of the security of the state of Israel. Israel cannot be a narrow country. So you need, as you want to withdraw from northern Samaria, as they want the disengagement, I called it a withdrawal and not disengagement. I was not engaged, I say, to a woman and disengaged. What is that kind of nonsense? So this is a withdrawal, a unilateral withdrawal, that Israel gets nothing for that activity. So if you want to pull out from the north part of Shomron and you don't have any agreement that this Arab village in front of the hotel Eshel HaShomron, that this village will be moved near Nablus and widening the narrow waste of the state of Israel. This, I understand, is a responsibility for the next 50 years. But if you will not do it, can you guarantee that Israel will survive in the next 50 years? And if not, who will be responsible? President Bush? Condoleezza Rice? Colin Powell? Clinton? And those are the questions. And what will be tomorrow? Israel is not in Gaza. What will be the day after? What will be the day after? What will they eat? What water will they drink? Where will they work? Who will be blamed for the unemployment? Israel. For the social, difficult social situation, who will be blamed? we put the blame on me. That's the American song. And here in Judea and Samaria, they don't say, we will have the right of return for 3 million Palestinians back to Israel proper. Not to Tel Aviv, not to Haifa, not to Jerusalem. Just to what they say, the occupied West Bank. So, these 3 million people that will come here, where will they live? In the Jordan Valley? It's a desert, no water, heat. It's very hot there. What will they do? How can they make living? What jobs will they find? What are the resources, natural resources, of that country? So there will be here a Palestinian area in Gaza. In between, they have a safe passage. Safe for what? That I or Dina or you throw Molotov cocktails? Safe for whom? Imagine, I said, they take I-5 from San Diego to Vancouver. Will you agree that America will be cut in two pieces? And what will they do from Gaza? They will go in the morning to Hebron, and by evening they go back to Gaza, and back going back and forth. So what kind of economy will it be? What will they do? What will they produce? Nothing. So that is the roadmap. I said, this is the most dangerous plan ever put on Israel. Israel added 14... Mr. Iguyot,
objections
to the roadmap as it is. But the American administration did not pay any attention to it. They say, this is what you got, this is what you approved, all what you said about objections, we don't care about it. But without those objections, this is the killing of the state of Israel. Because the first paragraph says that the Palestinian Authority will stop the terrorism, stop the terror organization activity, but at the same time Israel will freeze the construction and the settlements. So they want to kill us softly. That's what they do. What connection? I became a terrorist by that equation? A terrorist should stop shooting or suicide bombing, and I should stop building a house for my daughter. So I'm a terrorist like him. This is the equation of the roadmap, and nobody is talking about it. I spoke about it. But this is the most dangerous plan.
Does he have any answers for all of these points? Or he's
no,
just
he does. He came, first of all, he came to listen. And I wanted him to listen. Because he wrote. He asked me questions. And I put him, you know, step by step on the basis of the rationale of my understanding. And the problem is, I said to him, why don't you put a pressure on the Palestinians to work together with me? I don't know what will be the solution, the permanent solution, you know, status. We have sewage. Why can't we build a sewage plant, you know, joint venture, Ariel and Salfit, to recycle the sewage, the water of the sewage of the city of Ariel and Salfit together? Because I'm a settler? Because I have horns? Because of what? Why don't we operate together? Why don't we cooperate? I don't know what will be in the future, but at least now we will not pollute the underground water. Why not to do it? He wrote it. I said, the electricity is coming. I did it. That they are connected to the electricity. The water system. I am responsible for that. I did it. It's bad or good. There was a car accident Thursday night, last week. A whole family, Arabic family, was killed in a car accident. The father and 5 children. Got killed, boom.
That's the accident.
Who was the first one to come with the ambulance? Our ambulances. From Ariel, they came to save the people. Did they ask who is the victim? Who is wounded? An Arabic, an Israeli, Jewish? No. They came out. What is the connection to such matters, to politics? Now, you cannot make peace between me and you sitting in Washington, D.C. Peace can be done between me and my neighbor, between you in your townhouse and your neighbor the townhouse. So that's so clear. That was the kind of a conversation with many other things. And I showed him nothing changed in the last century, the same. And I said to him, and this is very important to you on this camera, the question is, do we have the right to that land or not? If we have the right, so we have the right to keep it all as it is for us, or to decide that we want to give up a little bit, or not to do anything. This is our right. But if we don't have the right, so it's fait accompli. Let's go back to Russia. Let's go back to America. Let's go back to Yemen. So the question is one word, right. How do we know the right? I say, go back to the origin. Go to the Bible and find it out. Because Judea and Samaria are before Washington, D.C. And Jerusalem is before Paris and London. And what can I tell you? This is what I said. So the question is, do we have the right or not? And as I know, we have the right. And we are right. You have my permission and you have all the rights, as I told you before. You have all the rights to put my nice face on the website and my wonderful tenor. Call who in tenor?
My voice.
My voice, yes. And you can bring it because I'm talking and speaking from my heart. As you see, I don't read it. I just speak it because we live with that. And just to assure you that America is a superpower, should remember that even the oil prices should not be the reason to abandon its allies, not friends, allies. And America and Israel are allies. In the Middle East, there is no ally to the United States. All the other countries in the world, they need one thing, to exploit the United States. That's why they need it. We, Israel, we are so much dependent on America. Without America, there is no state of Israel. This is why it is so important to make America leadership understand the circumstances and situation, not as all the peaceniks and peace now, that they want peace now, they want to eat now, they want sex now, that's what they want now. Those people, many, many years, they work in Washington, D.C., and you see that no benefit is coming out of it. So those people who believe in the Bible, you know, in believe in the prophecy, those people that believe that there is God in the world and everything is directed by some superpower, not America, but another superpower. So those people should back us and prevent any effort to put an end to the existence of the State of Israel. And the roadmap is one of the tools that can bring Israel into its end. But we can prepare, maybe with such a camera, the story of the fence. The story of the fence, which I call it the gated community. You see, you start laughing. I said that in America you know what is a gated community. It's a place that is closed by a fence that will prevent robberies, thefts, you know, something like that, or to have those criminals coming into the closed area. And I say that the whole state of Israel is one big gated community. And if I look at the block of Ariel, which President Bush said that he needs to take into consideration the facts that were created in the last 26, 30 years, and this is Ariel and the surroundings. So the fence is not the problem. The fence is the solution against terrorists. So this makes a gated communities. Gated communities. And people don't understand when they see the pictures of the wall, of a concrete wall. It's not the truth. There is no wall and no fence at all. And then they should see how tiny is Israel and what we're talking about. The sizes of those blocks that have to be enclosed, you know, by that fence, it's so ridiculous. compared to the so much noise in the world that I don't understand it, but that should be seen. And by the camera, we can show you the Israeli communities, where the root of the fence, where it will go, and to show the people, numbers of people that live there, why President Bush said about the permanent status agreement, the effect of the Israelis who live here, and why the fence becomes, by that noise, a political subject and not something that needs to prevent suicide bombers. Exactly like you have the checkup and the checks, security checks. Homeland Security was born after September 11th. Why did you do it? In order to protect America from Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden and terrorists. And why is good to build a fence along the shores of America, where the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean are there? Nobody can penetrate America. And you block all the airports and the ports of America, and you have special security means. Why do you do it in JFK or in Newark? Why do you do it in San Francisco for the East and Los Angeles, coming from the, you know, from Asia, from the East, in order to prevent people to come into America to make another September 11th? And that is okay. And you have gated communities, it's okay. But when we want to defend ourselves, no, the whole world is shouting. And Condoleezza Rice said that she objects the fact that the fence will go half a mile here and a quarter of a mile there. Do they know the boundaries of Dallas, Texas? Can they draw the line of the boundaries of Dallas, Fort Worth? But they know excellent the boundaries of the city of Ariel. Amazing. Will that bring peace or prevent peace? So that should be seen on the internet.
I have to tell you something funny. They've been here about a week
so far?
Today.
You know, I tell you a story. That should be on the internet. I had here the director of the Norwegian TV, him and his director of the programs, you know, the lady who's responsible for the programs of the national network or chain, a channel of Norway, like Channel 1 here in Israel or something like that. And he asked me questions about the wall. I said, there is no wall. He said, how come? Where is the wall? Where is the fence? So, no wall, fence. I said, sir, there is no wall and there is no fence. And I said to him, you know something very interesting. After you asked me once and again to show you the fence or the wall, and I said that there is no wall and no fence, I have to ask you a question. How come that every night on your channel we see the wall that does not exist? So there are two possibilities. One, that you lie, or the other one is that your correspondent, journalist, that is deployed in Israel, he is the liar, but you are responsible for the lies. So show me, if there is no wall and no fence, how do we see every night on your TV, on your screen, the fact that there is a wall or a fence? Can you answer me? He kept silent.
We've yet to see the wall.
He says that he's been saving on his computer pictures from the news, you know, of the wall. So he has them on his computer, but he can't find the real fake.
There are no facts on the ground.
You have been listening to the audio from a video that was done in the spring of 2005 with Ariel Mayor Ron Nachman. Now, he would be what the world would call a settler, but we call him what the Bible calls him. We call him a builder, because the Bible says, again, I will build thee, also thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. And this man is a marvelous builder, being obedient to the divine call. Now, we thank you for listening to us on this extended version of the Light Church Podcast. If you would like more information, once again, about David Oaks Ministries or even about our trips to Israel, you can reach us at www.davidoaksministries.org. Or if you would like to send us a mail by the U.S. Mail Service, our address is The Light Church Fellowship or David Oaks Ministries, P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74006. Thanks for being with us today. You be blessed, and you know that Jesus is coming soon for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye for now, and be blessed.